Actually, Omaha is quite influential and has been influential in Afghanistan. My undergraduate degree is from the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and that we actually have the Center for Afghan Studies in Omaha at that university. And the dean at the time, I still think he is the dean, was a, I think, a Rhodes Scholar, or a, he was a scholar in Afghanistan for a while, and then I think lived there for like 10 years. And so Afghanistan is not an unknown name among friends of mine, colleagues, and so it's definitely been something of interest in my mind for a while.
How does your family feel about you being in such a political hotbed, or maybe that's not even an accurate description?
I've been involved internationally for many years. I've lived in Afghanistan before. I took a break and then I came back last year, and then but I was there 2006 and 2007, and so my family, you know, it's probably hard for them, and they express that, but they're good at supporting me and saying, you know, Alicia, you got to do what you need to do, and that's where I feel like I need to be right now.
Can you tell us about what you do at the school?
I'm the school counselor, and so part of that involves academic counseling for our students as far as getting them and preparing them for our examinations as far as the ACT, SAT, and TOEFL. We're the only computer-based TOEFL site in the country, as well as any counseling that needs that come up for some of the children that arise. And then also just going into classrooms and just speaking about ways to handle ourselves as far as it goes to anger or bullying or any issues that come up that kids that teachers want addressed with some of our students.
What type of homes do your students come from?
Most of our students, their parents are in government or in business or work in some capacity of nation building for many of our parents. Some of our kids, too, have come from orphanages or have been sponsored by individuals or by embassies from different countries to attend our school as well. So it's we've given opportunity not just to those who may be wealthier or the elite of society, but also to those who maybe would never have a chance to study in an environment like us, and giving them opportunities to expand into university as well.
The Taliban government was ousted in 2001 when Hamid Karzai became president. In your experience, are things better, worse, or the same under Karzai?
I think anybody who has worked in Afghanistan realizes that Afghanistan is a complicated situation, and it's really not a yes or no question, unfortunately. I feel like, yeah, there's been some progress. You can see it in major cities as far as there's a new beautiful road that was built just recently. It's called Darlaman Road, and it goes all the way to the king's former palace, and it's just this beautiful road, and there's trees aligned with it, and so there's infrastructure slowly that has been building, and two roads connecting different major cities. But at the same time, I would think most Afghans would say that progress has been slow as far as rebuilding certain things as well, and had wished, you know, certain things had happened sooner than they've had. So it is really a complicated situation. There's been a lot of good that many people don't hear about that happens in the country. They're beautiful people, and but at the same time too, I think there's a desire that more would have happened by now as well.
What's the infrastructure like in Afghanistan generally, in Kabul specifically, regarding things like regular water, electricity? You mentioned roads, things like that.
When I first came to Afghanistan in 2006, we didn't even have electricity 24 hours. We would maybe have it 2 days, 1 day off. Right now, more or less, within the city of Kabul, you have 24-hour electricity, and this has changed within the last 3 years, or 2 years even. A lot of homes have running water, access to electricity, but a lot of homes do not. And you'll see on streets water pumps for people to get water because they don't have it in their home. Especially, there's a lot of mountains within Kabul itself, and the people who live on the mountainside, some have access to electricity. You'll see lights on the mountains, but a lot of them have to come down the mountain to get access to a water pump, and then they bring the water jugs back up to their home. So it's there, but it's not completely there.
Do you think your work at the school and living in Kabul is dangerous?
Yeah, I think there, I mean, you have to look at reality, and reality says there is an element of danger there. I mean, you can't deny that fact. But at the same time, I think people say, you know, are you safe? Are you in harm's way? There is that reality. But at the same time, in some ways, you can forget that there's, quote unquote, a war going on because it's not affecting you for a while and stuff like that. So, yes, it's dangerous, but at the same time, it's not, if that makes sense.
How does the danger affect what goes on at the school?
Yeah, I mean, we're affected with some of our parents being in government or in very influential jobs or in places in the country and in where they're at. It definitely can affect their ability to get to the school if roads are closed down, if something in particular is happening, family members could be involved that causes concern for our kids. You know, there's no one in Afghanistan that's not been affected by the violence, whether that's a family member now or in the past that has been killed or wounded or displaced because of war. So it definitely affects our school and how our kids operate. But Afghan people are very resilient as well. So they've learned to live this far, and they're continuing that trend.
Alicia Dambrotowski, thank you very much for being with us on Morning Edition this morning. It's great to meet you.
Great to meet you. Thank you very much.